See, that's what the people thought they could do with Jesus. They tried to throw him over a cliff, but they couldn't grab hold of him. And he walked right through the crowd, right through the midst of them. See, sometimes we have to just stand firm on what we believe to be true. Because the enemy is going to come, he's going to test you on what you believe to be true, whether it's true or not. But we as a church have a tendency to forget that the Word of God is true. And the truth is, whether it makes any sense to you at all or not, it's still true. We all question some of the things that we read in the Bible. We all do. But we, the church, need to stand firm on what we believe. Because if we don't stand firm on what we believe, how are we going to make believers of the unbelievers?
Amen.
We need to stand firm. And if we can stand firm, even when the enemies come to give you those kidney punches, you know what those kidney punches are? You know what those are? No, baby. You stand up Christian, you show the kidney punches. A kidney punch? Hold on, now, you don't fight that way. You fight me face on.
Yeah, the one that kid comes back.
A kidney punch is in close proximity to you. In other words, the enemy is facing you. You're quoting scriptures in the ear of the enemy, but he's reaching around and hitting you in the kidney. Hit you hard enough in the kidney, what he's going to do is cripple you and make you bow to your knee. You have everything that is right in front of you that God has given you on how to fight the enemy, but at times he comes from behind and he hits you in a tender spot. Hits you hard enough, you'll drop to your knees. How many of you have been feeling that pounding going on? That has not been frontal attack, it's been from behind the back, sometimes to the side, and you just want to back up a little bit. Have you ever felt that way?
Yes.
Are you feeling that way?
Yes.
Are you tired of getting hit?
Yes.
Are you tired of getting hit?
Yes.
In the area that you can't quite guard?
Yes.
Because if you drop your hands, he's going to take you out. When there was a battle that was ensuing, as long as Moses had his hands up, victory was taking place. If the enemy can get you to drop your hands, he can win the battle.
Amen.
But we need someone to grab hold of your hands and keep your arms up.
Hallelujah.
So that you can have victory in your battle. This is for somebody in this house tonight. You've been getting your kidney blows. You've been getting those punches that are getting to the point where it's like, oh, you're dropping me to my knees. You're putting me down to the ground. I don't know how I'm going to get up. But because I'm down here, you've actually got me to my place where I'm supposed to be. It's on my face, crying out to the Lord. And when I can't pray no more and I don't understand what to pray, I have one name I can call on, and his name is Jesus.
Amen.
You know how to cry out to, oh God, oh God, oh God. But when you call out the name of Jesus, it makes the enemy begin to tremble.
Amen.
It makes the enemy begin to fall to his knees. It makes your adversaries begin to understand that you're not fighting this fight alone. That you are actually standing with the one that's going to give you victory. You're not alone, whomever you are that is in this place. You are not alone. You may be down to your knees. You may not have any more strength to get up or even crawl out of bed. But God is saying, I'm here to lift you up. I'm here to lift my people and lift them up. And in this time, I held the hand of Almighty God, and I called him to stretch it forth and to go down to the valley and give you victory in the time of your need. You are in time of need right now. It seems like everything is getting a little crazy. It seems like things are getting a little fuzzy. It seems like we can't get quite the focus on where we're going. But I'm here to tell you, he's about to wipe some things clean because we have stepped into a season. And in this season, it's the Spirit of the living God that is bringing forth the strength and power of God to move things out of the way. Some of us feel like we are the lepers that have been cast out of the church, cast out of society, and cast out of the places in our life that brings us wealth. And we're sitting outside of the place thinking that we're just about to die if we don't get into that place here. And for some of you in here, I want to tell you, you're not going to die. You're going to live. You're going to press through. And the God is going to make a sound in the enemy's camp to make the enemy run and flee and leave everything there for you. You may feel like you're going to die out here because they cast you out. But I read in scripture when the lepers looked back and said, we can sit here and die, or we can go into this city and see what happens. But maybe we can eat, or maybe we're going to die. But if we sit here, we're going to die. So let's just go. And the moment they walked into the city, there was nothing opposing them. There was nothing coming against them. But it was everything that was laid up for them. You may feel like we are the lepers. We are the church that has been outcast out of government and out of churches because we believe in the true word of God. Signs, wonders, and miracles. We believe in prophecy. We believe in the apostolic anointing. And we believe that we are the righteousness of God. And people come against us because we stand firm on what we believe. But we are going to go into a place that the enemy has kicked us out of, and we're going to take back what is rightfully ours. I've been pushed around, I've been talked about, I've been lied about, and I've had people come against my ministry, have people come against my marriage and my children, but I ain't staying down. I ain't staying down. You push me, I'm going to push back. You come against me, I'm going to come back at you. How do I come back at you? I'm here to tell you, we're not going to sit out here and die. We're entering into a place that God has called for us to overtake, take dominion, take power, take authority, and release back to the people of God to bring them out of poverty, bring them out of sickness, bring them out of obscurity, and bring them out of the place where God said, this is not your home. Don't make a dwelling place here. Get on the move. Get on the move. Because I am God Almighty. You're coming up, and you're coming up over. I don't know what kind of sickness or disease. I'm tired of seeing the church folks getting beat down with every sickness and every disease. And when he made me mad, he just made me his worst enemy. Because I believe in the word of God that it is true. That by his stripes, we are healed. Into the throne of grace and mercy, he deposits into you an apostolic word that begins to transform your life, to change the direction, to begin to propel you into your destiny. But the thing that I find out about a propeller on a plane, it can just be on the plane, but it does nothing unless you ignite it and turn the ignition switch on. All of us play a part. All of us have a role. Don't let the enemy take you out and say that you're minuscule, you don't have a big role. You have the rudder that's on that plane that gets you where you're going. The propeller is just one thing to keep that air flowing. That's right. But the other thing is we need to know when the direction where we're going, that's the Holy Spirit going to guide us. Amen. I'm telling you, we're going somewhere. Amen. I don't know what's taking place other than I know this, that I am not going to stay where I'm at. Are you hearing me, church? Was your Lord and Savior, you are a saint of God. That doesn't mean you have no sin. That doesn't mean that you're made all perfect and holy. That means that through him and in him, you are made righteous. And we are overcoming the things that are coming against us. And if he's pushing you to the left and he's pushing you from the right, know this, that God is going to drive this enemy out by bringing forth a supernatural wind to blow in the direction of your destiny. I've seen too many church folks being depressed and being oppressed. I've seen them go through seasons of no rest. And I'm tired of seeing the church folks be so tired. Either the word is true or it's not. It's only up to me to believe that it's true. Because if I believe that it's not true, guess what? He's still God. He's still God. All we've got to do is hold on.
That's right.
Hold on. And if you reach to your side, ain't nobody want to hold on with you, don't worry, because you're just touching the hands of the angels. They were going to drive you out of where you're at and take you to the place of your next door. See, when I started feeling this pain, y'all don't know. I started feeling this pain. I said, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make it today. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I need your anointing. And under that anointing, I can move and operate and do whatever your will is. Yes. But if you ain't there, I'm not going tonight.
That's right.
I'm not going. Because I'm tired of playing church. I'm tired of playing all kinds of holiness. And we're not seeing the manifestations of it. I just need you to be there. Because if you're there, you'll help me through it. If you're there, you'll help me through everything that I'm going through. If you're there, you'll speak to me for I'm your son. If you're there, you're going to begin to speak to me in a way that shows me who I am. You're going to speak to me to tell me and reveal to me who you are. And begin to show me how I'm going to get out of where I'm at. To get into a place I've never been. I hope you hear me. I hope you hear me. Because we need to get God for ourselves. And if you haven't been wrestling with God, maybe make an appointment. Start wrestling with God. If you want your promises to come to pass and they ain't come to pass yet, wrestle with him. It may happen in the midnight hour where he begins to dislodge the sinew of your hip and begins to change your identity and begins to change the way you walk out the walk in God. He may have to alter the things in your life so that it fits you just right.
Amen.
Are you hearing me?
Amen.
I know by the Spirit of the living God that I hear today what God is saying, that there is something that is coming on the horizon, and some people have been held back for too long. They've been quieted for too long. Your mouth has been shut up. Your mouth has been shut up. I need to see some eyes in here, please. I need to see some eyes in here. Your mouth has been shut up. Your mouth has been gagged, and you can't even begin to speak what God has given you because of unbelief. Jesus couldn't do no miracles in his own town because of unbelief.
That's right.
Jesus himself, the Son of the living God, couldn't do miracles because of unbelief. And there's a prayer that is prayed when the young boy is being tossed because of this demon that's inside of him. And the father prays, he says, but help me with my unbelief. A prayer, no doubt. Help me with my unbelief.
Yes.
How many of you have gone through a season or in a season where the unbelief is stronger than your belief? Oh, yeah, let's turn on the front lights and turn this overhead off. Have you been in a place where your unbelief is stronger than your belief? Because he starts to mess with you in the area that hurts. He starts to get into a place that's not, that doesn't feel good. And he begins to challenge you in the areas that you know that are your weaknesses. But God wants to utilize that to show you how good he really is. He's really good. He's so good that even though when you mess up, he's still right there with you. And understand this, be still. He knows you've gone through enough, you've struggled enough, but he's going to help you. Because he knows you. He's counted every single hair on your head. He knows everything, and even the nightmares, and even the times you can't even get comfortable in your bed. He knows it. He knows exactly when you want healing and how you're going to get it, but you don't know how you're going to get it. And you begin to quote every scripture that you know, you start to quote it back to God like God didn't know it already. But quoting scriptures is not for God, it's for you. It's to show you that they're true, that they'll manifest in your life. And even when you don't believe it, son, they'll manifest for you because he loves you.
Amen. Regardless.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, you will.
There's nothing that you can do to separate you from his
love. That's right.
Amen.
He loves you so much. And I thank God that you're here tonight. Because your grandma's prayers have been answered.
Thank you, Jesus.
You've gone through seasons where you have been torn, ripped, and left for dead. Left for dead. You know you should have died months ago. You know you should have. But God kept you.
Amen. Yes.
He kept you. The enemy's been trying, been speaking to you. You hear voices in your head. You even wonder, how is this going to stop? I'm just so tired of it. I can tell you this by the Spirit of the living God. I cease those voices in your life right now. And I just speak blessings to you. Blessings to you. The love of the Father just permeates you. Let him cover you. And I bind every foul and unclean thing over your life that's been spoken to you while you were a child. Amen. You were never on accident. You were always on purpose.
Amen.
You were truly, truly, truly a wonderful man with a good heart. Good heart. Sometimes you go without, but you'll give to others and you'll go without. When you don't have, you still give. That's your heart, man. That's your heart. And I know this by the Spirit of God. Some things are going to change for you. And matter of fact, I keep seeing that you're going, somehow there's a distant relative that's going to come back to you and say, man, we've been looking for you. We've been wondering what's going on. There's some money that's been tied up for you. It's not much, but it's something that's going to help you. But here it is. It's come. I see it through a will, and it's coming to you. It's rightfully yours. You're going to see a reconnection with an individual that you have really been hurting for in your heart, man. I bless you, son. I bless you. Wherever you go, whatever you do, I speak love to you. And I embrace you because you're truly a good man. You're a good man dealt the short end of the stick in life. I pray that everything begins to turn around for you. And that thing that you crave is going to be taken out of you. In Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. There's a shifting and a sifting. We're shifting out of a place. Thank you, Jesus. We've been threshing at the threshing floor. But God is going to take us from the threshing floor. Take us to the mountaintop so that we can sit. So that he can do the rest. Amen. Because down here at the winnowing floor, you can beat it to a pulp, but you need the wind, the air, to separate the wheat from the chaff. God's going to take us from the threshing floor to the mountaintop so he can finish off the rest. Amen. As you're beating the wheat, I hear this by the prophetic voice of God. As you're beating the wheat, the covering, as you're beating the kernels, everything to loose, God is immediately going to transport you to the mountaintop and allow the wind of God to blow off the chaff that has been attached to you for so long. It's a whole different spirit in here tonight.
Amen.
Trust me, I've been laboring in that word for a long time. And that's not even my message. I'll prove it. Thank you, Jesus. Can you tell me what the title of that is? It's right there.
Acts 12, Prayer in Crisis.
That was going to be my message tonight. But just sitting there, waiting for what many preachers call mounting the pulpit, to mount it. In other words, it's time for me to take this, run with it, and release what God has given me. If God didn't allow me to mount, He got me to just release. Release. And it gets hard. It gets hard. But I know what I hear is what I have to release. And when I release, I'm good. That don't mean I gotta do anything else but just release. But I do know this. There are some things that are beginning to move. And if we're not careful, we, the church, is going to miss it. And guess who's going to get it? The ones that didn't want it will get it because we didn't get it. We have got to be in a position to receive it. That don't mean that you got to be all doing it. It means that just know that God is doing something. And when He begins to speak to you, get there, do it, speak it, receive it, hug them, love them, and bless them.
Amen.
Because when it's tied to that act of obedience, it is a great blessing on the other side for you, recipient. There's something happening in the atmosphere. I know all kinds of confirmations that will probably be out there if you start searching for them. Get on your YouTubes. Get on your Elijah list. Get on. Watch this. The only time I get on that is when she sends me something, confirmation.
Yeah.
I don't go looking for it. I don't go seeking any prophetic word. I trust that I hear it. And when I'm off, I'll tell you, I was off. Human. But I know what I feel within my spirit. I know what I'm feeling. He's going to ask you to do something different. Oh yeah, much different. He's going to challenge you in an area that you probably are tired of being challenged in. But He's going to challenge you so that He can get you to grow. Going to do it. And if He's been touching that sore spot like this, and you don't listen, and He's been trying to get your attention, He is trying to get you to be so darn irritated with the finger of God so that you'll reach for the heart.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
I'm going to keep doing this to you because He wants to get you to your destiny.
Amen.
Yes.
People think, well, you can mess up and you're not going to make it to your destiny. No. You can mess up and delay your destiny.
Right.
You can do that. Or you can abort your destiny. You know what abortion is, right?
Yeah.
It's kill off your destiny and kill off your purpose in life. Say bye-bye to life itself. That you can do. But what I keep hearing is that the sovereignty of God is going to be displayed so that He receives glory.
Amen.
Okay, see? Now I can transition into this over here. Now I can transition. Because I just said the sovereignty of God is going to show up so that He receives glory.
That's right.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
Okay, now I can try. That's a pretty good transition. Watch. Hey, sometimes I'm like, oh, wow. I'm done. The transition. Watch this. Go to Acts 12 in your Bibles. Go to Acts 12. Watch how we transition. It's good. Thank you, Jesus. Acts 12, verse 1. Y'all mess me up. Thank you, Jesus. Acts 12, 1 through 16. Are you there?
Yes.
Hallelujah. verse 16. I just said this. The sovereignty of God is going to be displayed so that he receives glory. Correct?
Yeah.
I'll begin reading at verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. Jesus help us. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of the unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Do you see that in verse 5? Prayer was made unto God without ceasing for him. Verse 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping. Who was sleeping?
Peter.
What was Peter doing?
Sleeping.
So he wasn't doing anything but sleeping. Sleeping, right? Just sleeping? He wasn't working. Was he praying?
No.
He was sleeping. Are you following me?
Yes.
The sovereignty of God is about to be displayed so God receives glory.
Amen.
What was Peter doing?
Sleeping.
Was he working to get out of jail?
No.
Was he working so that he could get, you know, time off for good behavior?
No.
Was he trying to be a parolee or anything?
No.
No, because he was actually about to be killed. How is it that you are sitting in a situation right now that could be leading you to spiritual death, but yet you could be sleeping within the prison, shackled, and also have the guards sleeping right next to you? Are you following me?
Yes.
If we were to know that we are about to be killed in the morning, how are you going to be sleeping?
Not very good.
That says something here about Peter.
Yes.
He rested in the fact that he did the work of the Lord to the best that he could. And okay, here's my time. I'm going. I'm out of here. This time tomorrow morning, I'm going to see you, Jesus. I'm going to sleep. Maybe I'm just preaching myself. Amen. Amen. Okay. Good job, Mark. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Thank you. Preach on, preacher. You got the Holy Ghost. Well, I know I do. Did you feel the unction? I did, sir. I did. Woo-hoo. Had to help myself, James. And nobody wanted to just respond with me. I think they just, I gave them too much meat. They can't, they're still chewing. It's all right. Verse 6, and when Herod had brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Now you all bound up, and you're sleeping with two guards. They're spooning. Y'all thought it, I'm just saying. You're all chained together, you're spooning together, you're spooning with the enemy that has you bound, and you're just sleeping away. What's up? One, two, three, switch. And the guards are right outside your prison cell. But he's sleeping. He's sleeping. He's Mimi's. You know what Mimi's is?
Yes.
A rural baby. A rural baby. That rural baby, you know. Your body begins, hey. If you ever start falling asleep, all of a sudden your body.
Yeah.
And it wakes up.
Yeah.
Was that sleep? Sleeping, you know, sleeping hard. Hard. But knowing that the next day he could be killed, they just killed with the sword his brother. But he's sleeping. Kidney punches. Kidney punches. That was a good transit match. Boy, shoot. Marty, preach on. I'm going. Preach on. was hearing from God today. I told you. But some of y'all don't realize that, you know, people that are out there on the radio station, they're going to the Bible to figure some things out. You don't believe it? 98.5, the B. Watch this. You saw it, right, Michael? You saw it right here. Look. And when Herod had brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains.
Two chains.
Y'all follow me, right? Some of y'all know that kind of music. Two chains. So y'all find some crazy things in here, but the people out there in the world are using
two chains.
That's right.
And they're making money.
That's
right. Don't get mad at them, just take the money. Verse 7. Man, I haven't even read this all yet. And behold, watch this. Oh, watch this. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison and smote Peter on the side. In other words, hit Peter on the side. Can I use my cousin again? He's sleeping. This is what it says. He smote him on the side. Have you ever felt like I was in a good sleep? I was.
Yes.
What did you do that for? You were snoring.
Yeah.
And you wake up, Bob's all coming down like that. You were sleeping real good. You know, your bed spread and everything, and your covers all light. See, all those kind of noises that you're making, because you know you do it. So the angel comes, hits him on the sides, and wakes him up. Did Peter pray? Did Peter cry out?
No.
I don't read that he cried out. Matter of fact, did Peter praise?
No.
He was worshiping, right?
No.
He was sleeping. The sovereignty of God is about to be displayed so that he can receive glory.
Amen.
Peter did nothing to receive what was about to take place. Some of y'all already read on to it, right? Okay. That's what you just read too slow. And smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And what happened?
His chains
fell off. Did he rebuke the chains?
No.
Did he have to dance 6 times in a circle?
No.
And on the 7th time shout, they would fall off?
No.
No. In other words, he woke up and the chains fell off.
Yeah.
But all the angel said was, "Get up quickly." It doesn't say that Peter said, "But my chains. But my guards. But the prison." Because that's what we have a tendency to do.
Right.
We want to present our case to God like God didn't already know.
Right. Oh, man.
We want to present our circumstance like God didn't already know what we're already in. Now, God didn't know he was going to be killed the next day. Like, God didn't know your light bill was about to be. Like, your car was about to be. Your house was about to be. Or your daughter was about to be. Or your son was about to be. Are you hearing me? Like, God didn't already know, but Peter didn't present his case. Peter just did exactly what the angel of the Lord said. Now watch and read on. The sovereignty of God is about to be displayed. So who receives glory?
God.
And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on the sandals." And so he did. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. How many of you sleep so hard and you have a dream like, I don't know if that was real?
Yes. Yes.
Because I was saying, "Jesus, Jesus." I woke up speaking in tongues.
Yes.
Was it a dream or was it for real? I woke up screaming, but I was still screaming while I was awake. In my dream, I was screaming. When I woke up, I was still screaming. Was it a vision? Was it a dream? Or was it reality? You understand?
Yeah.
We go through things like that because our spirit doesn't rest.
Right.
Amen.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Sometimes he has to put your mind and your body to sleep so you can hear from him.
Oh, you got that right.
Because if you're awake, you get all in the way.
Oh, yeah.
Because you start to go, oh, but the guards and my chains. Is this a dream? And then you get out and say, watch this. He didn't do nothing. But God showed up for a reason. He showed up for a reason. Verse 10. When they passed the first and second ward, how many times the enemy put you in situations that you think that this is just too much?
Right.
I'm bound in my prison cell. I'm about to be killed in the morning. I've got two guards chained to me as I sleep. I come out of the cell. There's two more guards there. As I'm leaving, there's two more guards outside the cell doors, outside the doors into the cell. And outside of that, there's another two guards. Boy, he must be something.
Yeah.
Peter must be really something for all that kind of guard. Right?
Yeah.
Now remember, back in the day when Jesus was still around, you know, a couple weeks before this, Satan has asked to sift you. Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And you following me?
Yes.
Satan already knew he is something. Have you been feeling the attack just nonstop in your life? Raise your hand. Then you are a threat.
Yeah.
You're a threat to the kingdom of the enemy. So you're about to experience the sovereignty of God, and you haven't done nothing, asked for nothing. You've just been doing what you're supposed to be doing. And now God is saying, rest. Rest and sleep. And watch me come unto you supernaturally while you're resting in my word, and I will do it so that I receive glory, not through your prayers, not through your fasting, and not through your shama in the hundreds. It's all about God receiving glory. He did it. But here's the most important thing. Who's praying for him? Who was praying for him? The church.
Amen.
We wonder why the city is going down to hell because the church quit praying for the